As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Come on, brothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? The Lord, show me the way. Oh, fathers, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, fathers, let's go down, down in the river to as I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, mothers, let's go down, come on down, don't you want to go down? Come on, mothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way.
Well,
this is a verse-by-verse study of the greatest book that was ever written. In order to understand this book, you need to be born again in the newness of life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If this has never happened to you, and you need to believe the good news that Jesus Christ died for your sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and he rose again on the third day. He was then seen by over 500 people. On behalf of our sponsor, who is the creator of the universe, we welcome you and thank you for coming. Welcome to the Book of Heaven.
Well, good evening, everybody, and thank you for joining us tonight.
Yes, we appreciate it.
Yes, we do.
And our sponsor appreciates.
Yes, and we love our sponsor.
We have a great sponsor.
We do have a pretty cool sponsor.
Yeah.
Some would say the absolute greatest sponsor.
Well, absolutely.
I would have to agree.
You know, no other sponsor like him. He's a unique person.
He is. Very unique.
Yes.
Like, I think there's only one.
That's right.
Well, how are you this evening, Jim?
I'm just fine. How about you?
I'm doing pretty well. Miss Kitty, Larry, great to see you guys.
Good evening.
Howdy.
Good to be here.
I hope you've had a wonderful day in sunny Florida.
Oh, I know. It was a hot, it was a little bit windy. And I was in the yard all day.
Mm. Yeah, you were working your butt off today.
Yep.
Well, not, that's pretty hard work.
That is. Matt, good to see you, kids.
Hey, from Kentucky. It's got raindrops falling on her head.
Yep.
Yeah. But you had a warm day still, though, right?
Yeah, it was nice. It was like 70-ish something. Yeah.
He's going to get down.
Rub my nose in it. Hey, how are you this morning, girl? Morning. How are you this morning?
You're good. I'm awake.
Right? I'm too used to talking to you in the morning, I guess. And Pete and Kelly, good to see you, kids. Look at you.
Hi, guys.
Sunny Las Vegas.
You can get a little bit before it gets too hot. We can actually be outside.
Yeah.
Having a picnic. You're right. Enjoy it while you can. And our favorite host and director, Duncan McGregor. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. I'm alive. Been trying to get water out of my chicken coop today. Had to redirect some water because we got downpours like crazy today, and we got, what, 4 or 5 more days of it.
Mm, good times.
Oh, yeah.
Chickens don't do well in water.
Apparently, they can't swim. Hmm. Who knew?
They don't have the oil in their feathers to keep their feathers from
That's what I need to do. I need to go put some like beeswax over them or something.
Yeah, that's
there you go.
Need.
Give them a big oily rub down.
A couple of ducks.
just need some penguins.
Yeah, exactly.
Grow yourself some hybrids, some duckins.
Some chiduckins.
Chiduckins.
That sounds tasty.
Right? And you know, you're kind of covered for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, exactly.
Throw the turkey in there. All right. Well, what do you think, Jim?
I'm ready to roll when they are.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, there's one thing we still need to do.
No, what's that?
Well, we got to pray.
You know, we're supposed to open with a prayer. That's a good idea.
I think so.
How about talking to our sponsor and getting permission?
Yes. Let's get the sponsor involved with our show here. I think that's probably the best thing we can do. Mm-hmm. So, without further ado, dear sponsor, our God and Savior, thank you. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for this beautiful family that you have knitted together so tightly, so beautifully. Thank you for this time with you and your word. Let us just absorb your word like a sponge and retain that information and then ring it out on the world around us, that everyone may hear your word and understand it. And I just thank you for this time with these people and this time with Jim. And just ask that you bless this time that we spend together in your word, and just come here with us, be here with us. And we just thank you for the many blessings of the day. In Jesus' holy and precious name, we ask and pray these things. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, I think we ought to have I'm going to start with our scripture reading John, Big John, 5:39.
Big John, 5:39.
And it says, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me."
Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, pointing out to them that it's not enough to know the scriptures and to forget that they point to him. Mm-hmm. I remember I'll be reminding you of this often. Whenever you're studying the Bible, you really ought to have this question in your mind that says, how does this point to Christ?
Mm.
How does this point to Christ? Where he says that how he indicts these guys. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And the scriptures are what point to me. The eternal life is from Jesus.
Amen.
This book is where we learn about him. This is where we learn about his will. Then we learn from his will, we obey, And from our obedience, we learn about him. We learn to know him personally. To turn scripture reading, go to Colossians chapter 1. And go to read 9 and 10, first Colossians. I'll be all right tomorrow.
As long as you're good by next Saturday, we're good.
So I'm sorry, Colossians.
First Colossians 1, 9 and 10.
Oh.
1,
9
and 10.
Hang on a second.
Did I beat you, Kitty?
I went to another spot.
No, I got her started wrong. It's my fault.
But I still got there before she did. Well, that's a rare thing.
I know. I have to
revel in it.
That gives you a star.
He got a star. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God.
So notice there's the in verse 9 we have the knowledge of his will. Then in verse 10, we're told to walk worthy of the Lord, and then we increase in the knowledge of God. So if you want to, this explains why there are people in this world who know this Bible from one end to the other and are not saved, because they've never obeyed the word. It's obedience that brings you knowledge of God. Of course, you couldn't do that if you didn't know his will. So knowing his will is important. That's why we're here, is to learn his will. And then you're to walk worthy. And then you'll increase in the knowledge of God. And that's the song we had last Friday or whatever it meant, Saturday. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
So that's good news, because I can obey all day long. But if you asked me to recite scripture, I couldn't. So fortunately, that's not what's going to keep me out of heaven.
No,
that's fortunate.
There's nothing that will keep you out of heaven except your failure to believe the gospel.
Yeah. Well, I believe that.
Well, then you're going to heaven.
And I obey. And I try to memorize, but I'm not so good at it.
No. Remember, we were talking about our knowledge of God. We were not. So in these verses, salvation was not in view. Salvation, but it was assumed. These verses were all written to Christians. So this is information for Christians. Your knowledge of God, your knowledge of his will, obeyed, leads you to knowing him better. But the moment you believe the gospel, how that he died for your sins and was dead, buried, and raised again on the third day, when you believe that, you're on your way to heaven. That's the ticket.
Yes.
But we're learning more about him. You know, Christians have a legitimate reason to say, well, if I'm saved, what am I doing here? Why don't he just snatch me off to heaven? I'm ready. And the answer is, he wants you here on earth for a while so that you can help some other people learn about him. And in that knowledge, some of them will be saved. But you're ready for heaven the moment you believe the gospel. Then the rest of this whole thing is getting a lifestyle that patterns and mimics and mirrors our Lord Jesus Christ, and you get to know him by being obedient, and of course you can only be obedient by knowing his will. So it all fits together. Now we're playing with the book of Colossians, and I just want to remind you a little thing: always look for Jesus Christ in everything in the book. How does it point to Christ? This is very important in the Old Testament, because those are illustrations, and so they really point to Christ. And by the way, that's what he, in that verse I read in John, that's all they had at that time was the Old Testament. Okay. So having said that, we turn to the quiz, or what I call the packets, where I got that name, but that's what I call. And we were in packet 1, and we had just about finished it. So if you'll all turn to packet 1, and turn to question 19. Now we're working on the first chapter of Philippians, and we'll be expositing it soon. So rather than spending a lot of time on that, I'm just going to jump right into these questions. And if our reader would read us 23 and 24, I'll ask the question. Well, I'll ask the question first. What is his frustration in verses 23 and 24?
For I am in a strait betwixt two, having desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you.
So what is his frustration in that verse, in those verses?
He'd rather, he wants to go to heaven. He wants to be with Jesus.
And
He's frustrated because he needs to stay here for our benefit.
That's absolutely the exact words that I wrote down. And listen, on these question things, if you can read my mind, you will do lots better.
Wow. Cheating.
Yes. Cheatery. Thanks for sending those out to me earlier, Jim.
I struggle with that a lot because I get mad at people for not being able to read my mind.
Anyhow, there's a little key word in that answer, and I just want to call your attention to it. And it's a little word, but he would rather be in heaven, but. And I told you one time that that word, but, is widely used through Scripture. And it always involves some kind of a contrast. Anyhow, he would like to be in heaven, but he thinks he's needed here. That's the frustration. Now, number question 20, read verses 25 and 26.
And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again.
And I asked the question, what is the result of his further stay with them? Anybody can answer that.
Repeat the question again, sir.
Sure. The question is, what is the result of his further stay with them, which would be staying here with the Philippians? What is the result of his further stay?
For their furtherance and joy of the faith. And
he did it again.
Oh.
That's twice in a row. That's two in a row.
You guys got to, at least, break up the shared notes so it doesn't sound like
we forgot to post them earlier for you all. Sorry.
When the poor student gets all A's, there's big question marks.
No. Listen, you guys get off of him. He's an A student.
No, he's a good
student. He can't help it. He's just born an A student.
He's a better student than I.
Okay. Where? Question 21, verse 27. Read verse. I'll read the question. You can read the verse. What does he want to hear about them?
Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel.
Okay. What does he want to hear about them?
Matt?
I'm not answering it. I'm going to let you all. I'll wait on you all.
No, you're good.
No, what they're doing in regards to furthering the gospel.
Right on. He wants to hear their affairs, and he wants them to stand fast in one spirit, one mind. Notice he wants them to be unified. You know, one of the themes of the Bible is unity.
Amen.
He wants them to be unified. And then he wants them to work for the faith of the gospel. It's a really simple, real easy question. And I know that Matt had the answer.
Of course he did.
Of course he did.
Gave it to him.
Yeah. Now, this is a yes, no question. Those are harder. Are they afraid of their adversaries? Verse 28.
And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God.
Are they afraid of their adversaries?
Not if they're standing firm in the gospel.
No, that's right. The answer, no. They're not afraid.
Are we doing Colossians now?
Verse 28. Did I do something wrong?
We didn't exposit Philippians.
This is Philippians.
It is Philippians.
We're in Philippians. We're not expositing yet. We're doing questions.
But okay, I'm lost.
Get your finger on now. Before we do the next one, get your finger on verse 28.
That's just it.
128.
128. Okay. That's where I went wrong.
Wait, but it wasn't your fault. Your pages were stuck together.
No, I thought we were in chapter 4 or something.
No, we haven't jumped ahead that far yet.
Okay.
Now I'm on track. You know, I can understand the confusion.
No wonder I wasn't getting anything wrong.
No wonder he's missing the questions.
So, verse 28.
But listen, you folks that are listening, you're very patient. Thank you.
Yes.
See, Matt got all the right answers, and Jay Wu got all the wrong questions.
I got it. I'm playing a whole different game in a whole other field.
That's just how we roll.
All right. Welcome to the family, everybody.
Laughter doeth good like medicine. Okay, now read. Now we're going to do 23, and this is verse 28. In what way is their fearlessness a sign to their adversaries? Verse 28.
And in nothing terrified by your, wait a minute. Oh, it's a 28 again. Okay, sorry. Yeah. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God.
Nothing.
In what way is their fearlessness a sign to their adversaries?
Well, that first they're standing up and their support comes from their faith in God.
Yep. I'm guessing this is a thought question, but I think when they show no fear, it shows their confidence in the truth in Jesus.
And here's a key word.
Yeah.
Key word is sign. Is there a sign in this verse 28?
There's a token.
That's the word for, that's a synonym for sign. Now listen to the question. In what way is their fearlessness a sign to their adversaries? It's a token of perdition. Their fearlessness makes their adversaries see their death. Perdition means death. Maybe, by the way, this may be a lousy question. I'm willing to accept that. But I don't think so. I wouldn't have put it in.
Well, and their adversaries have to believe that they have a greater power working for them than themselves.
Yep.
Yes, that's the idea. The token of perdition, which means a sign of destruction. And their fearlessness is a sign of destruction to their adversaries. Got it?
Yep.
Did I make myself clear?
Does your adversary have to be something necessarily physical? Or can it be the idea of something?
It could be an idea, yes. It could be an idea. It could be anything that stood against the gospel. In this particular case, it was the adversary was people who were trying to convince the Philippians that they should keep the law and get circumcised and get baptized and all that stuff. But it could be an idea, anything.
Does the devil devil doesn't use just, you know, feel, he uses his feelings and he uses our thoughts against us. Yes, not just what he presents to us in physical and seen items. He'll use our emotions against us too.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Good insights and good, and I'm glad you mentioned them because that's important.
I ran across somebody today, and if you guys don't mind, I'll divulge a little bit.
Tell us about him.
So I ended up running an errand today, taking the cat to the vet. Long story, doesn't really matter, but I ended up in the parking lot of a convenience store after I dropped the cat off at the vet. And for those of you guys that don't know, I'm in a wheelchair. I drive a van with hand controls, and I'm pulled over in a parking lot trying to get, you know, my directions pulled up on my phone and just take care of some different things, thinking about grabbing some lunch before I get back on the road and head home. And I'm kind of, no matter where I go, I'm in the way. You know, I pull across some parking spots and then cars come in. So I have to move a couple times, and I end up parking where there's no other cars in this parking spot. And as soon as I get parked and put it in park, a truck, a big semi truck comes in and is trying to maneuver around in this small parking lot, and it backs up in front of the convenience store I'm sitting in front of. And as I'm watching that go down, a white Mercedes comes and pulls into the handicap spot that's partially blocked by this truck that just got there. And I watched this gentleman get out, and it takes him a while. He sits there for a while, and he gets out, and he's got a walker. And I watch him struggle into the store, and I mean struggle. Like, he's carrying his body basically with his upper body is carrying him on his walker. I can see his feet dragging behind him. You know, like as he progresses forward, the tops of his shoes are dragging across the pavement, you know, and then he'll readjust his body and position his feet, and he'll stand down on his feet, move his walker, and do it again. It took him a very, very long time to get in the store, and I was watching the struggle as he pulled his feet, and it was kind of familiar to me. And something told me to talk to him when he came out, but because my van has the ramp that loads, and with this truck there, it was almost an impossibility for me to get out without causing a big commotion. And I waited for a second. The lady that was parked next to him got out, or not got out, left. And so I pulled up next to him. And as he was coming out of the store, I gave him a thumbs up, and he gave me a big smile. And then he started talking to me. And he actually ended up coming over to my van. And this is where it got really weird. His name was Rob, which is my brother-in-law's name. He was from Oregon. He had multiple sclerosis, which I have multiple sclerosis. And he was a former deputy sheriff. There was just so many things we hit on. And I asked, you know, I kind of asked him what he was doing. He said he came to get a haircut, and the place was closed. So something told him to come to this convenience store. And I told him that I couldn't leave without telling him how inspirational that was, because I watched him drag his feet. And I knew the struggles on his face, because I've done the exact same thing when I was doing it with my walker, trying to. And so it was such an amazing moment. He told me how blessed he felt, and that he goes out every day to experience, and he's going to have some stem cell, some stuff done in Florida. But the point was, the guy was happy and full of life. I'm going to share his picture if you guys can see it. There's that truck that was blocking the parking lot behind us. And it was just amazing, because all he kept talking about was how blessed he was. And, you know, that kind of tied in with that adversary, you know, his adversaries. He was talking about how he's alone, and he ran out into me, and I was alone, and we were talking about how we can overcome it. He talked about how negative people get in this vortex, and they stay in their house. So overcoming your adversary can be a multitude of different things, and very important to identify.
Yeah. I think the devil wants to isolate us and keep us down. You know, he wants us to be afraid.
You had a divine encounter.
I did.
It definitely, yeah.
I did. He invited me to his small church. I'm gonna go check it out and just kind of see how it. I'm gonna keep in touch with the guy.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a wonderful story. I appreciate your sharing that with us. It makes me want to cry.
Well, thank you. It was a touching moment. I for sure.
Yeah. Well, let's think.
I'm sorry, what? I didn't know you spoke tongues.
What language is this class in?
You're not an interpreter? Too bad. In what?
Do we have an interpreter?
24, verse 28. We're still in 28. In what way is their fearlessness a sign to themselves?
Salvation?
Yes. And I think the verse says all those things. Let's hear the whole verse again. We've had three questions about it. Let's listen to the whole verse again.
And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God.
See, all three of those things are in that verse.
It all makes so much more sense now.
Yeah, well, that's why we study it. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. A token of perdition, which means a sign of destruction to their enemies. Just imagine for a minute that you don't believe and you're hostile toward the Jewish God that they're trying to introduce you to, and then you see their happiness, you see what Peter saw in this gentleman that he met, and it puts, the Bible says, it puts fear into them. They see their end. And then, of course, it also buoys us up, and we see our salvation. And we always—it's always good to be reassured of your salvation. Mm-hmm. And you remember the man in the New Testament that Jesus did something, and he said, "If you just believe," and he said, "I believe. Help thou my unbelief." And from time to time, I'm sure that every one of you has had a struggle with some unbelief, mm-hmm. and. So don't feel bad about that. Okay, 23, we have verse 29. How do they know they have arrived at the high calling of Christ?
And it says, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake.
Yeah, now that's how you know that you're... have arrived at the high calling of Christ is when you're partaking his suffering.
Right.
You listen, if there's a reason why James says, count it all joy when you suffer temptation. Mm. He means testings. He didn't, temptation in 1600 English meant testing.
Well, that's, you know, that's interesting. So that points to a lot of our brothers and sisters.
Oh, yeah.
To suffer.
And by the way, when we get into Philippians 3, we'll come to my favorite verse where we learn that we get to know him through the fellowship of his sufferings. Okay, number 26. This is verse 30. And I put 22 and 23, and that doesn't quite make sense. First read verse 30.
Having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here. To be in me.
And what is their conflict? Well, read 22 and 23. There must be a reason why I wrote it down here.
Yeah. And I see what it is here, but I'll read those too. And it says, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart. And to be with Christ, which is far better. So isn't that conflict, the desire to be in heaven right? And to leave this evil world.
You're right on. Their conflict is this tension. By the way, this tension between good and evil, you know, we have the tension between the lust of the flesh and the spirit, and we have this conflict. That's one of the most beautiful parts of heaven will be that'll be gone. And that conflict won't be there anymore. What a pleasure it'll be to get out of that conflict.
Right. And the suffering.
Yeah, and the suffering will be gone. And the tears. And the pain.
And the affliction.
And the affliction and the death. The tension between the desire to be the Christ in heaven against to our continuing his work here on earth. All right, that's the end of the question. Now we're going to talk about the text. Did we have an opening prayer?
We did.
Paul and Timotheus, Philippians 1:1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. Well, guys, this is probably one of the few places where you actually see a total church organization. The saints, the bishops, that word can also be translated elders, the bishops and the deacons. The church organized along the lines of the Apostle Paul has some leaders, and it has some deacons. Deacons are workers. Deacon means, it's from diaconus, it means a slave. The deacons are workers. We learned in the introduction that Paul was probably in Ephesus when he wrote this. Wherever he was, we get a glimpse of how churches are organized. They should have a leadership group of elders and deacons or servers, usually headed up by a teaching elder. And the teaching elder in this letter would be Paul. Acts, we want to go and read some in Acts chapter 20.
Would you like to do a mid-show prayer?
No. Okay. Unless, well, I don't, yeah, I like prayers. I didn't mean that quite the way it said. I mean, it doesn't quite fit what we're doing, but.
Right.
Well, let's turn to Acts 20.
I should have responded faster.
You did fine. Yes.
Acts 20?
Yes, I have no. Acts 20. Paul meets with the Ephesian elders, starts with verse 17. We're gonna see a little church meeting here. He's actually saying goodbye to these guys. So if you'll read 17, I don't know where to stop. We can read through to the end of the Bible.
I'll just keep reading. You tell me when to stop.
I'll holler. Just start.
Okay. And from Miletus, he sent Ephesus, and he called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you all at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. But have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified.
He's leaving the church at Ephesus. We studied the book of Ephesians, remember? Mm-hmm. I will just call your attention to a couple of things. One of them is that every one of you has been called to some kind of a ministry. It may seem big time, may seem little. There are no little ministries. It's all very important. It's all serious. And you need to, and notice how he says it. He has not failed in his ministry, and how he continued in it even in times of discouragement. The other thing that's very important to notice here is that the false teachers are not only going to come from outside the flock, they're going to come from inside. And you guys have put together a really nice, neat bunch of people here on this podcast. And I love them all by decision. And I'm learning to like them a lot. And I want you to know that you need to realize that you could have false teachers pop up right in the middle of your group. Mm. That's one of the reasons why you're studying the Bible. If you know the truth, then nobody will ever get you with the false. It says, be simple in the ways of good. Be wise in the ways of good and simple in the ways of evil. You don't have to know evil to recognize it when you know the truth. So be faithful in your Bible studies. Be faithful to share that. And be on guard. And be on guard against your own self. You know, we still got this old man in us that can raise up and cause us to do things we shouldn't do. Mm. So that's the reason. Excuse me.
Oh, I was going to say, that's kind of like the story of that the investigator or the banker who was asked, how do you know a counterfeit bill? And they said, I study the real thing and know it inside and out, right? And they never looked at the counterfeit. They always looked at the real thing. And that's how we learn to know it. So just like God's word, right? We look at his word instead of leaning
exactly
to men.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Really strange, because I think we was talking about the doctrines of demons trying to lead people astray this morning in our thing, and I had talked about it in another church group last night with some people, and I think I talked to my dad about it. I don't know why that's been so heavy just going around lately, is not falling victim to the deception that's the all. If you have to know the, like Jim and you, Kitty said with that story, you gotta know the truth. And once you know the truth, you know the lie cannot trick you, essentially, or the counterfeit, because you know the truth, and that's what you're going to stand on no matter what.
Always remember, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And what are you free of through the truth? You're free of sin. That's real freedom. All right, children, let's look at verse 2.
I was going to cut in there.
Well, speaking of, I like that.
Freedom and knowledge of having knowledge in the Bible, I was going to tie in a little coordination there. You know, when you have to understand what you're going through you know, with anything that you're dealing with, a contract or a speeding ticket, if you're going to have to face a court, you have a lawyer that helps explain the laws to you. Even if they read them, they may help interpret them and how they might apply in the situation. Right. Well, when in we're going to stand in court, we're going to be judged by God one day. Right. And we don't have to have someone interpret those for us. We can read the Bible. Jim, I like the way you were saying that. Build our own knowledge so that we're not tricked, you know, and prepare so that we can know the laws, the rules that we're supposed to follow, and don't need somebody else to dictate to them, to us, because we don't know what their motives are. You know, when you hire a lawyer, you're going to pay him, but you know, are his motives 100% true? But if you're depending on yourself to know the truth, you know your motives are.
Well, Jesus is also our advocate. That's another name for lawyer. And he's this business of our judgment as Christians. We've already been judged. We were judged at the cross in some supernatural way. You were at the cross 2,000 years ago, and you were found guilty, and you were condemned to death. And then your lawyer, who was a really good one, he stepped in and went to jail for you. That's a real lawyer.
Yeah. See, and your knowledge of the Bible showed my ignorance. I tried to explain it, and you're like, "Well, no, it's better this way." Thanks, Jim.
Well, I didn't mean to correct you.
No, you made it better.
I really want to hear every word you have to say, because this is an interactive deal. This is a Bible study. It's This is not where you're sitting in a church and being preached to. It's a Bible study.
Amen.
And that's why they call it study.
Yes.
Because that gives us the opportunity to share what we know and what we don't know.
Yes. Yes.
And it makes us stronger in our faith.
Well, that's certainly true. And it makes me stronger, my faith, as I listen to you. You have no idea how that blesses my heart. And so...
And even on that note, like, you know, even like a young Christian or somebody that does not have a good understanding of the Bible, they shouldn't be fearful, like, coming to a Bible study just because their knowledge is not, like, there are so many different people at so many different levels serving God. There's young ones, there's people that have been serving God a long time that have really good knowledge and understanding, but it doesn't matter. We're all in it Well, we're going to be judged individually, but as believers, we are the body of Christ, and we are in it together when you look at it from that point of view. So there is no, I mean, you can say there's a weak point or weak link, but no, they're still part of the body. So we got to lift them up and help increase their knowledge or wisdom and understanding. And I'm sure that you can learn things even from new, younger Christians that it'll surprise you.
They're gifted.
Well, and what's cool about new Christians when they come into it is they sometimes see things a completely different way than you had ever even considered. And, you know, it's really beautiful. Every single person at every single stage has something to offer to the word, and it's interesting.
At every age,
yes.
From the little baby. And see, the six-year-olds are gifted.
Mm-hmm.
They got a gift. So they got something to say too. I was going to say
when I was teaching the kids in the Bible study and, you know, classes like Awana or whatever you want to say, I always learned something from the kids.
Mm-hmm.
They would teach me, you know, because they're just open to learning and innocent. And so, yeah, I learned a lot from them.
I potentially learned something. You got to take everything with a grain of salt, but our founding fathers were not old men. They were in their late teens, yep. Early 20s.
Yes.
The oldest was like 26 or something.
Yeah. Yeah. They weren't even 30 yet. So, like, you know, when we think about things and when we think about the way we've been deceived, I mean, and you said it yourself, Jen, like the 5 and 6 year olds, I mean, they're so in touch with God, you know, they haven't been tainted by a lifetime of the crap that we live through in our lifetimes. But so again, you know, there's no one's view or understanding of things that should just be pushed aside, you know, without at least giving it a thought, because it's beautiful. And frankly, you know, kids probably know a lot more about it than we do.
Yeah. Well, the Word of God is our glue. So if there is disagreements or grievances, whatever, I mean, you can just be like, okay, we're both wrong. Let's go see what the Word says.
Right. Just get back to the Word and figure it out. Nothing to sweat.
Now, the word judgment has been popping up around here in the conversation. I want to stop, do a little tutorial here. I want you to realize that judgment is a word that's used in many, many ways, and it is rarely used for the word condemnation. And judgment is an evaluating process. And we are, once you exercise faith in the gospel, you will never be condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation in Christ, in Romans 8:1. So in your minds, keep condemnation and judgment separate. We have, for example, as Christians, we will stand at the Bema seat of Christ. It's translated, Bema is a Greek word, and it's translated judgment in the King James Bible, and says we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's not the condemnation seat, it's the judgment seat. Mm. Or in the Greek, it's the Bema seat. And you've all seen a Bema seat. Because
Olympics.
Yeah, because you watch the Olympic Games. And it's where they stand when they give them the gold medals.
Well, shouldn't it be called a Bema stand then?
You could call it a Bema stand. You could call it a Bema walk. They walk up on it.
Well, maybe it's a seat, because when it comes time to be judged, we might have to
I think in the old days, the judges got to sit down on the Bema seat, and you had to stand up.
Oh, boy.
Think if I won the 100-yard dash in the Olympics, I'd be sitting down after that.
Anyhow, but you're going to be judged for what you did in your body. In other words, you're going to be judged for how you lived your life after you became a Christian. Mm. But you're not going to be but as far as your condemnation is concerned, that you were condemned at the cross and Jesus Christ died for you and took care of that condemnation. So you can never again be condemned. But you could certainly be judged and found that you wasted your time here while you were here. I understand. I want you to just understand the difference. And you will have to be, when you're studying the Bible, have to be discerning. Because once in a while, the context will dictate that judgment means condemnation. But that's rare. But you need to be aware. I'm just trying to teach you a little awareness. And I'm trying to, and I know that thoughts are precise according to the words that you have. So don't get judgment mixed up with condemnation. That's created more problems for Christians. Now, the other word I want you to watch out for in the King James is the word conversation. Because every time you see it, they're not talking about talking to somebody. When you see the word conversation, they're talking about style of life. It says we're to have a good conversation. That means we're to have a good style of life. Just a little, what do you want to call it? A couple little things you need to remember. While we're playing with words, the way this thing works, it starts with a revelation. Okay? And that leads to interpretation, which leads to illumination, which leads to application.
Ooh, all the shins.
So the truth is revealed. It's not necessarily, it's not something you think of. It's not something that man created or put together. It's a revelation from God. It's revealed. And then, of course, then we take a look at it and we decide what it, we and we we have to figure out what God meant when he said it. That's the interpretation. What did he mean? There's only one interpretation. You in your evangelistic work, you'll run into these people and say, oh, there's so many interpretations. No, there's only one interpretation. There's a lot of illumination and there are a lot of applications, but there's only one interpretation.
You know, it seems like there should be a rhyme or a poem in there somewhere.
A poem?
Or a limerick or...
It ought to be. I never thought of it. Maybe we could sometime...
I mean, you pretty much just said it, but, you know, with a little refinement.
Well, I got the ushers in there. The revelation, the interpretation, the illumination, the application.
Yeah. See, well, like, you know, they make those kinds of things into a little song so that you remember it.
Yeah, I'd like to do that.
Yeah.
I was a little smarter, and maybe I could.
Well, we can work on it.
Kind of made me think of the head bones connected to the neck bone. Yeah. Right?
I was thinking conjunction, junction.
There we go. That too. It's kind of that same kind of.
No, what fun. All right, you guys. I've got some interesting information coming up. Okay. The verse 2 goes, grace be unto you and peace. From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is his salutation. Now I'm going to give my reader a job. She's going to go start with the book of Romans. She's going to go from book to book and she's going to read the salutation in each one. And we're going to compare them. So if you'd start with the salutation to Romans, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, so Romans says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name.
That's good.
He goes on with a long description in that one.
That's the wordiest one we're going to have. Now go to 1 Corinthians.
All right. I didn't remember that one being so long.
Well, I think grace and peace was down there a little further. Go ahead.
Okay. So 1 Corinthians says, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and so Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. Go to 2 Corinthians.
And this one says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints, which are all in Achaia, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
I like the next verse, so read it.
Yeah. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Who comforts.
By the way, when you're involved in someone who's grieving, this may be the verses you want. Read a couple more.
Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ.
Yes. Maybe you can comfort somebody else with the comfort God has given you. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what Peter was trying to do when he approached the gentleman that he met. He was reaching out to comfort him.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right, Peter?
If I could unmute it, yes, that's exactly what I was trying to do.
Right. Well, and I think that falls under when you smile at someone or.
Oh yeah.
Or offer.
And encourage him. He knew. He told me that I was the reason that he was outside today. He said that there's, and that's something that else struck me is, you know, I start thinking about people's reason in their life. You know, that was another piece that he gave me today. Little reasons. We don't need big reasons. You know, I ran into him. He gave me strength. I gave him encouragement. We traded.
Yeah, it's definitely a give and take, you know, and when you offer a smile and they smile back, or, you know, it's a shared thing. It's never one-sided, I don't think. And by the way, you almost got beamed with a volleyball.
It's a double hit. It's an arrow. Double-headed arrow. It goes both directions at the same time.
Amen.
Okay, now go to Galatians, please. Is she there?
Yeah.
I think he meant just read Galatians.
I could have gotten
the he just finished reading it. Oh dear. It says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Christ Jesus and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Grace and peace. Next one's Ephesians.
Ephesians, mm-hmm. Ephesians what?
One and two. Chapter one, verse one and two. We're just doing, all we're doing is.
The old 1-2.
We're doing the old 1-2, the old salutation.
It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
And then we just read the one from Philippians, so jump past that to Colossians.
We're flipping past Philippians?
Mm-hmm, we already did.
Okay. Make sure your spelling is right. Oh dear.
Right here.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Sorry, I spelled it wrong. And it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. And the next book is. First test.
First test.
Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now you can go to Second Thess.
And there it says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now we're ready for 1 Timothy.
Boy, Paul just gets around to all these.
I know. He's all over, isn't he? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord.
Rose, you notice he interjected mercy in that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've been grace and peace, grace and peace, grace and peace.
Now we get a little mercy.
Grace, mercy, and peace. Okay, second Timothy.
Are you all starting to recognize a pattern?
There's a pattern.
You seeing it too? And it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord.
Okay, we're just about through. We have Titus.
We got a little more mercy in that one too.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
The blessings increaseth.
And then Titus says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began.
Keep going.
Okay. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Okay, and we'll do Philippians, and I mean Philemon. Philemon.
Okay, yeah.
This is a little tiny book.
And Philemon says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, now you're ready to do the first three verses of Hebrews.
Hebrews.
Ooh,
I have a copy. Oops. And it says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
Okay. Now, you notice that the pattern is stopped with Hebrews. Mm-hmm. A lot of modern theologians say that Paul didn't write the letter to the Hebrews, but there's some other internal evidence that he did. And when we get to the book of Hebrews, we'll express it.
Hmm.
Now, turn to the book of James. And read the first two or three verses in that.
And it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience.
You notice the difference in the way that one opens compared to the Pauline pattern? The letters from Paul were all letters, and they were all written to Christians. And he wished almost all of them grace and peace. Now let's just look at a couple more examples of, turn to Matthew. Turn to the first page of first chapter one of Matthew and see how that letter opens.
And that's even more different. So it says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And it goes on about all that begats here.
That's right. How about to Mark, the next book? What's it?
Okay. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee."
Okay, just flip back to Isaiah. Let's see how it opens up.
The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me.
Okay, they're the only place in the Bible that I can find that opens up with grace and peace are the letters from Paul to the Christian belief, to the Gentile Christian believers. That's interesting, and probably the explanation for it is that we're in a new dispensation, one in which God is a personal God. I have doubts about the fact of him being a personal God in the Old Testament, except there are some exceptions. He came and talked personally to Abraham, and he spoke to some of these Old Testament prophets. But I don't want to make too big a thing about that, but I don't think you have any problem at all seeing the different flavor of the Pauline epistles. They're personal, and they're written to you and I. So having said that, I'll just make some more comments and we'll get on to the next verse. As is common to his letters, he wishes them grace. Grace means the attitude in God's heart from which all good things come. The graces are offered to us as a gift. God's graces can never be earned or paid for. They're worth far more than any human could ever pay. Hence, they must be accepted as a gift. If the recipient is unwilling to accept them as a gift, then one will never have them. Peace means the end of hostilities. God is offering to sign a treaty in which you will no longer be warring against him. You see, he is not your enemy, but in your unsaved condition, you treated him as if he was. Grace and peace comes to you through the goodwill of God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. And you notice the grace always preceded the peace. You can't have peace until God gives you his grace.
Makes sense.
Isn't that exciting? I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. By the way, this is so personal that you might want to put it on some birthday cards sometime that you're sending or a letter that you're sending out to somebody.
What about t-shirts?
No, I think it's a personal thing. It's something that, in other words, I think it's as simple as me saying to you, Jay Wu, I thank my God for my remembrance of you.
Well, that's awful sweet, Jim.
It is sweet. Listen, he says, and then he says, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. I'm always praying for you, and I've got some requests for you. And so you might want to use, this is an extraordinarily personal deal. So he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Whenever Paul thought of these people, he thanked God for them. He was in prison in Rome. He had not worked among them for 10 years, yet they were still on his mind. I am sure you have had the same experience. Do as Paul is about to do. The thing we sometimes forget as we're studying is how time is passing. It's been 10 years from the time he wrote this letter and between the time he was at Philippi and when he wrote to them 10 years later. Mm-hmm. And we don't, in the Bible, a lot of times 10 years goes by with one verse or 25 years goes by with three or four verses. And we lose that feel that we lose those years, and we need to be reminded of them occasionally. And I'm just reminding you here that it's been 10 years since he was with the people in Philippi.
Hey, Jim.
Yes.
Do you think it's possible that he made those personal to those particular groups because there were so many Gentiles that had never heard the word, and he made it so personal for them to touch their hearts?
Oh, I think definitely. I think you're absolutely on the right track. He loved the people that he ministered to. And he loved you and me. He didn't know he had no idea that 2,000 years later we'd be reading these letters. Take heart in that, guys. There are things you're doing today, if the rapture doesn't come, that are going to be impacting people's lives 1,000 years from now. Hmm. Prayers you're saying today, you pray for somebody that's not doing well, and they get well, and they minister to their children, and their children become Christians, so they go chick. And I can only track Christianity back in my family, back to my great grandfather, but he had to get it from somebody. And of course, eventually, if you followed it far enough, you'd get back to Lydia, the seller of purple. And then you'll eventually get all the way back to the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. But get some vision about what's happening to you today. This isn't just now. This isn't now. This is what you're doing for the Lord is forever. Mm. And if we are raptured, it could be responsible for somebody getting saved during the tribulation period. You don't know where your family roots are going to go. And there's more to your roots than your bio roots. There's also your spiritual roots. People that you minister to, that's not bio family.
Right. Your adopted family.
Yeah, they're your adopted family, which is more power. We talked about that.
But yeah, is that not the... That's your eternal family, though, so you would think of them of greater importance, though, because that's who you're going to be with in eternity,
Oh, yeah.
And Jim, I'm just giving us the 15.
Not that your bio family doesn't matter. That's not what I was trying to get at.
No, that isn't what you said. We understand.
Yeah.
If one of your bio family got their feelings hurt, get over it.
How dare you.
Matt's speaking in parables.
You got
it. That shows you too, though. I mean, the fact that the Word of God, there ain't nothing like it. Nothing has held up and to the test of time except for the Word of God.
Could you imagine writing something that got into a book like the Bible?
Yeah, look at there's enough. By the way, they print these where it'll fit in my hip pocket. I can put what it takes in my hip pocket to be successful in life now and eternally. And he found time for the little people.
Yeah.
When we get to the end of Colossians, it's a whole chapter just talking about little people. By the way, I did a thing called the Little People of the Bible, and the one that is my favorite was Rhoda.
The shoe height?
No, not Bildad, the shoe height. That's a good one. No, Rhoda was my favorite. And they prayed Peter out of jail, and he knocks on the door. And somebody, I'm sure, said, Rhoda, get the door. And Rhoda goes and answers the door, and she's so surprised that it's Peter that she forgets to open the door. She closes the locked door in his face. He can't get in. He has to knock some more. And look, the Bible's filled with little people like that. I'll have to get in my old notes and dig out that list.
Well, we're not sure that one day we could, our future generations could be reading the book of Jim. Like,
well,
the epistle of Jim.
I'll tell you what, this is all digitalized and on a computer, and they could certainly be reading this material. Yeah. That's for sure.
The man with all the socks. Yeah.
Well, I think that's a big, yeah, that this, they could replay this and hopefully, and I think that's kind of the purpose of this too, is not just learning ourselves, but hopefully the people that are tuning in on the chat and on the replay, hopefully they can learn and grow and, you know, with their understanding of the word and their relationship with God, obviously.
And it shows the imperfections of man. We're not, that's the whole thing. It, nobody knows it all except one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen. Yes. Yep.
And he's our sponsor and he wrote this book.
That's right.
The Book of Heaven. All right. How are we doing on time?
We got about 10 minutes.
Well, let's take one. Let's do one more verse. He says, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Now he thinks of them and then he prays for them. And you should develop the habit of praying for people whenever they enter your mind. Often God has brought them to mind because at that moment they need prayer. The Lord will do for them what is needed without your prayer, but you can be a part of the blessing if you pray. And that brings us to Esther. And so you're going to have to read Esther 4, 13 and 14.
Esther 4, 13 and 14.
Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?
Now remember, Esther was living, she was the second most powerful woman in the world, and her husband had just been tricked into issuing a decree that they were to kill all the Jews. And so Mordecai, who's her adopted uncle, he's coaching her. And he says, you're going to have to go talk to the king about this. And she says, well, I can't do that because if I go in to see the king without an appointment, he'll kill me. This king is very jealous of his time. And she said, if he doesn't point the golden scepter at me, I'm dead. And Mordecai says, well, look, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house any more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews. He says, if you don't do your thing, God isn't going to let the Jews be eliminated. If you don't do your thing, and he says, the enlargement and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Listen, divine encounters. Peter came to that place that he told us about for just exactly the time of what happened. And if he hadn't moved his car and waved at the guy, give him a thumbs up, the guy still would have been encouraged by somebody, but it wouldn't. But Peter would have missed the blessing.
Yeah. Right. Because it is, it's a two-way street.
If I can help you guys get the vision for what your lives are about.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like when we, on Saturday's episode when in the woman who was compelled to stand on her head by the soda machine in the corner of the, it's like, and God picked a very specific person for that because I know that I'm probably not, even if it's hanging at me, going to go stand on my head in the middle.
Well, of knows I can't stand on my head.
That's what I would have said, but like, God, I can't stand on my head. I'll give it a shot, but.
Okay, I know this can't be God's voice because this is ridiculous. But yeah,
I would have tried, but it would have been horrible.
But that's the thing. I mean, he picks you, and That's pretty sweet to be picked by God.
And Paul says that he makes this request with joy. Paul believes that his prayer is going to be answered. Mm. He's already rejoicing in the answer.
Right.
Yeah, listen, if you're praying according to God's will, it's going to be answered. I don't know just exactly when, but I know it will be answered. It may take a little time.
Well, and I've been thinking like, well, as we discussed earlier, you know, suffering is a part of being in this body. And I think there's a point that you get to in your walk where you have to suffer with him. You know, I could be wrong in that, of course. But, you know, being able to do anything with joy in our hearts. And I don't think that, do you think that everyone needs to suffer at some point?
Well, I don't think there's a choice. I think it's going to happen.
Right.
There's different kinds of suffering, of course.
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, sometimes it's not just the flesh. I mean, it could be you suffer rejection over and over again. You suffer, I guess, your reputation in a sense, because sometimes you have to sacrifice the being a part of this world to do God's work. That's tough. That's hard.
Well, your mom's going to die, and you love her, so you're going to discover emotional shit.
Even a baby suffers trauma just being born.
Yes. Yeah.
See, I look at it when it comes to God. I look at it not as suffering, but enduring. Because my last name, every Scottish name comes with their like motto, and ours just happens to be learn to suffer. I've altered that one to endure, because enduring, it just means that you're taking the same thing and looking at it in a more positive outcome. You know, rather than just raining on my parade, you take the lesson from it. And that's one thing I was reading the other day, is that, you know, God has to tear people down in order to strengthen them, and it does. Sure. Like no tribulation that we go through isn't a blessing in disguise. Like we may not see it at the time, but you know, sometimes when you sit back and reevaluate, you know, you see the beauty of what God gave you, because we ask for prayers, but God's not a genie. He doesn't give us exactly what we want. He gives us what we need. We just don't understand the difference between need sometimes and want.
Yeah, he rarely ever answers a prayer in the way you expect, because it's not our place to expect anything.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's kind of funny,
you know. Duncan brought up a good point up when he says suffering. You know, that mental note says pain. You know, when you say enduring, that means there's an end.
Yeah,
and you can see that end.
Well, Jesus, oh my goodness. Read Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, I think.
We're down to 4 minutes.
Well, this will just take a minute.
And it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God."
Okay, that's, read that second, read number two again.
"Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God."
If we were to start teaching on suffering right now, we'd start here. He looked ahead to the joy. That's how he got through the suffering.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it crossed my mind, and I mean, there is a certain peace and calm and even joy in the midst of suffering when your heart is full of God.
And if you remember the promise that all things work together for good, then you can, and by the way, you are commanded to thank him for all suffering. Mm. Giving, you know, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, give thanks to God, for this is the will of God.
Yep. Amen. And I think that was a great point of don't focus on the suffering. I think you focus on the suffering, it'll break you. Focus on the goal. Focus on the reward, you know.
That's kind of like that the gentleman Ron and I were telling each other today. You know, you've got a guy in a wheelchair and a guy in a walker both telling each other how blessed they are. You know, that's an odd world for a lot of people that are looking from an outside point of view. And I wanted to jump back to the genie point and say, aren't we blessed that God doesn't answer prayers like a genie? Because how many things have we seen where so you'll ask a genie for something because you didn't specify it just the right way? You know, now you're a basketball player, but you're 5 feet tall. Or, you know, however it is, it's got some caveat that makes it not what you are asking for. And we might ask for something in prayer and then not get it because we don't understand God's plan. You know, and we may pray out of something like, oh, I really want that new iPhone, or I want that Mercedes, or pray out of lust because, oh man, she's hot, or, you know, things we ask for that aren't necessarily appropriate. So it's good that we don't get the prayers answered because it's counterintuitive to us.
Well, they get answered, but it's not in a way that we in any way.
Yeah. And a lot of those things that I'm not saying they can't be used for God's will, but a lot of times we're putting ourself into it over God's will.
And Pete, about 1,000 genie jokes went through my mind when you brought that up.
But I thought
I could say on the air
some good scripture to help out.
Romans. I had a genie joke that was just fitted into the last minute. But I think we'll stick with the more serious things.
There we go. Well, it's time to pray us out. And first off, just thank you all for showing up today and being here with us. You're all such a blessing and an integral and important part of this family. Duncan, you want to do the honors, my brother?
Oh, absolutely. You don't have to threaten me with prayer.
I know.
Everybody, please bow your heads. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for another beautiful day. Dear Lord, you just bless us with so much and these opportunities to come together and talk about scripture and to help each other have a better understanding about it is just one of the many blessings that we get daily, dear Lord. You've given us this absolutely wonderful family that encourages one another and prays for one another. And it's your little army, dear Lord, that you are building more and more. And every day I watch more and more people reach out to you, dear Lord. But at the same time, I see a lot of people that are deserting you, dear Lord. And I just ask that you get into their hearts and take away the cold and the lukewarm and just fill them with the heat that they need during this moment, dear Lord, to go out and be your great warriors. Dear Lord, there's a lot of false doctrine out there. There's a lot of evil people trying to take over our churches, and more people are looking for a new home, dear Lord. But we always have that home, and that home is within you, dear Lord, and in heaven. So let us focus on that kingdom, dear Lord, and let us make our own churches, our pop-up churches, just meeting with 3 or 4 people randomly in the middle of Walmart till we can have prayer, dear Lord, and speak of your heavenly name, dear Lord. That is what church is. Let us continue to pray, not just for the ones that we love, dear Lord, but also those that we question, those that we call enemies, dear Lord, as they need more prayers than anybody. Because, dear Lord, just like with Paul, you can bring some of the most questionable people around to become your greatest warriors. And we see examples of that all the time. Father, I thank you for having so much patience with us during our worst times. And even today, dear Lord, as we still stumble daily. And thank you for listening to us as we confess our sins and work on being better people. But I ask, dear Lord, that you continue speaking to us and letting us learn how to listen a little bit better every day so that we can continue serving you in all the ways that you need us to. And dear Lord, let us have a better understanding between the wants and the needs of this earth. Let us not abandon this earth, dear Lord, because we have a lot of work to do here, but let us focus on the kingdom, dear Lord. We weren't meant to focus on the flesh, but we still need to do what we can, dear Lord, to spread that gospel right here on this earth and to protect those that cannot protect themselves, dear Lord. Watch out for the widowers, those that are unable to take care of themselves, the children, dear Lord. We need to preserve the innocence of this world and preserve the scripture as they are trying to remove little bits of it bit by bit, dear Lord. But the more they try to remove, let us become louder. If they burn every Bible, let the words of that scripture come from our hearts and our mouths, dear Lord, and screaming and singing your praise, dear Lord. because they can take our lives, but they will never take what you have brought to us, dear Lord. And we can't turn our backs. Even if we lose our lives in the process, dear Lord, we are losing it serving you, dear Lord, which is no greater honor in this world. And we just end up home a little bit sooner. But dear Lord, we're not at home right now. We are right here. And you've got a job for all of us to do. So dear Lord, thank you for the missions that you have blessed every one of us with. And let us continue to figure this out, to hone our skills, dear Lord, as we're getting closer and closer to that battle that most people can't see. Dear Lord, when times get rough, let us stand up. When the devil puts fear into us, I ask, dear Lord, that you bless us with courage. Dear Lord, when the devil tries to bang up our armor and dull our swords, I ask that you polish those swords again and mend that armor, dear Lord, so that we are equipped for this battle. But Father, just thank you for loving us, all that you do. Thank you for all the blessings that you give us daily, those things that we see, and those that we're used to and just take for granted. Dear Lord, everything on this earth is special. And nothing here that we do, it's all through you. Every deed that we do, every time that we talk to another person about you, dear Lord, it's because of you working through us, dear Lord. So let us have no more fear. Let us have no more anxiety. Let us have all of the emotions that we need to carry through with this battle. And dear Lord, I ask that you bless us all with great discernment and great wisdom during these times so that we can see through the lies, see through the distractions, and step up and do your work. Father, we love you with all of our hearts, and we thank you so much for everything. In Jesus Christ's name and our Heavenly Father's name we pray. Amen.
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 All the brethren said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Well, that was a wonderful session. I appreciate the feedback we're getting from these people.
Yeah, no, this is a great family. In fact, some of us would say the best family ever.
I would say so.
Absolutely, definitely.
I would too. And again, thank you all for coming tonight. I hope
appreciate him helping us.
Yeah, and just everybody, people here on the call, and everyone in the chat. Everyone who listens later, you are a blessing to us all, and we just we love that you take the time to hear what we do. And with that, I say I love you. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you Saturday, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we'll be back tomorrow. Come check out Kilt a Christian Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Tomorrow we're going to get back into some scriptural topic. I don't know what it is yet because God hasn't told me, but he's always on time, about 3 o'clock in the morning. And then he keeps me up until 8 looking into the topic of the night. But hey, I will give up sleep for our Heavenly Father. But guys, have an absolutely beautiful evening. We'll see you tomorrow evening at Kilt a Christian. And in the meantime, God bless you all. And I leave you with the national anthem.
Thanks, Dustin.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave through the night that our flag